back and bigger than ever. It's the unofficial 40 from Soonerscoop.com. Now, here's the entire Sooner Scoop crew. Carrie, Josh, Eddie, and Bob.
All right, welcome back for the second day in a row. It's the unofficial 40 podcast. I'm Carrie Murdoch, and virtually none of the names that were introduced are on this podcast. Bob Prisbillo, our softball beat writer, is with us along with George Stoya, who is working on some features heading into Super Regionals. And this podcast is going to be all about softball, and maybe we'll let you talk some Portal Moser if you want to, Bob. But welcome into the program. The entire gang is not here, but that's fine. We get enough of Eddie and Josh, all right? So we're letting the real writers take over. Bob, just first let's set the stage. Give us the story that Eddie hates more than anything is the story how to watch the game.
How to watch the game.
But people do it because it generates massive clicks. Like, did you guys do that at the Gazette?
All the time.
So anyway, set the scene for us. What's happening this weekend? What days and what times and where to watch?
So we got Super Regional with number 16 Clemson coming to Norman to face the top-ranked Sooners. We'll begin 1 p.m. Friday on ESPN2, so there's no ESPN Plus on Friday. Then Saturday is at noon, but we don't know the TV time, the TV, because I think that's going to be dictated perhaps by what happens in some of the other series. Like,
yeah,
Cowgirls start Thursday. If they're like done Thursday, Friday, then you don't even have to worry about them Saturday. And then that goes with Sunday too. There's no time and no TV announced if game becomes something that has to happen Sunday.
Now, okay, so the I don't want to look ahead and jinx anything, but like, so do the Women's College World Series start on Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
Most likely media day with all eight schools would be Tuesday, and then the first game would be Thursday. I know in the past Patty has wanted to play that first game, that very first one, and get right out the box instead of sitting around waiting. But that'll be to be determined.
Okay, so Clemson coming in, we knew that that was the possible matchup when the pairings were announced, because if they won their regional, OU won theirs, this would be the super. I did catch some of the Clemson team. Obviously, they have a very good pitcher, you know, the thing about Clemson, they didn't sweep their way through their regional. They got beat one game by Auburn.
I thought Auburn was going to win the regional. We were kind of joking. I was like, I don't make a lot of softball predictions, but if I would have had to predict that regional, I would have thought that the Auburn Tigers, not the Clemson Tigers, I was about to say the Tigers, that Auburn was going to find its way through. But Clemson showed up in that if game. They had to go to the if game. Valerie Cagle did what she's done throughout most of the season with the superb seven-inning effort. And it was interesting, Auburn didn't let her hit, because, you know, she's one of the best hitters in the country too. Walked her three times, so Clemson had to find other ways to win that 5-1 game to advance, but that's exactly what they were able to do.
And their first game, it was a little bit like OU's Missouri game, wasn't it, where they I think, yeah, it was 17 runs or something.
It was 17-2 Greenville, got a lot of people fired up about what they might be able to do. But that's been the story of the Clemson season, is they will beat up on the inferior teams, and they, you know, I'm not saying life and death, but it's a heck of a lot more competitive when they play some of these better teams. They don't have a lot of wins against super regional teams. You know, they were swept by Florida State. They lost to Duke in the ACC semis. So as the competition has stepped up, that 37-1 record has come back down to earth to 49-10, and even Cagle started out at 18-1, and now she's 25-6.
All right, so Clemson coming in here, their head coach is John Rittman, and new story up on Sooner Scoop on 3. By the way, let me mention, I'm whoring things out here. I'm the only one here to do it. We do have our 6-month for a dollar special going on. It's a limited time offer. This thing is not going to last forever. And it's coming to an end. I don't have an exact date, but I would say if you're interested in subscribing to Soonerscoop.com, you never have, maybe you just want to try it out, see what we're doing. It only costs you a dollar for the next 6 months. So Go check us out. There, you know, when you get to Soonerscoop.com, there'll be some green buttons at the top that will direct you to how to sign up for that dollar promo. So we'd love to have you and want to keep this thing growing and growing, especially in our new digs. But John Rittman is the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, and he actually is married to a woman that has some really interesting connections to Oklahoma.
Yeah, she played at OU 1985 to 1989. Lori Rittman, Lori Fawcett was her original name.
Maiden
name,
yes.
Whatever. but, yeah, she's married to the Clemson head coach. She played for OU, obviously, in the 80s. The only reason I knew about this was my aunt also played OU for OU in the 80s. And so I made the connection. My dad told me the story about how they were best friends.
Anyways, your dad's sister?
Dad's sister, yeah.
Okay.
And so I connected with her over Facebook, actually. And she's like, oh, you're your aunt's, you know, nephew. And so I was like, oh, yeah. And
yeah,
so
yeah, of course.
We did, you know, I went through the Clemson media relations people to make sure it was all okay and that John Rittman was okay with it. But really fun story. You know, she's going to be back in town. Obviously, you know, she was recruited. She was telling me she was recruited by Marita Hines. She had Marita Hines' last year was, I think, 1984. But she recruited her. She remembers going to OU and having a recruiting visit. And falling in love with the football team. She still cheers for the football team. Is very close with Brent Venables, who obviously was at Clemson when, you know, John Rittman took over the Clemson softball program. So really fun story. But, yeah, I mean, it was also interesting hearing about sort of Clemson's rise. I mean, I don't know if people know this, but
right.
They've only had a program for 4 years, you know, and they've been extremely successful. I think last 2 years they were in Oklahoma State's Super Regional last year and got beat. So – they are – John Rittman's a good softball coach. I mean, he coached at Stanford for 18 years. I think he had 18 consecutive winning seasons there. He was at Kansas for a little bit. He actually was at Washington when they first got a softball program in the 90s. So, you know, this is – I think this is a tough squad, Bob. I don't know how much you've looked into them. I know that you mentioned they've kind of tailed off, but it's definitely a group that I don't think they're going to come in here scared of Oklahoma. I know a lot of teams probably do, but I do think that they'll be well prepared come this weekend. I mean, I think OU's going to win. I'm just saying this is going to be a tough test. It's not going to just, you know, be – what was the Cal score, 16-3?
16-3 and yeah. 14-0 in the top of the third. I'm like, how do you stay focused at that point? It went 38-3 in the three games in the regional. You knew Hofstra would be a run rule, but the way they beat up on Missouri and Cal, like, that's what Patty's looking for. That's all she's been stressing. You play your best in May and June, and that's the type of weekend that lets her know they're right on track.
Well, and you wonder, too. I mean, going into the offseason, this is a team, as you say, we haven't even talked about the streak yet, but, you know, poised, if they win out, they're going to own the nation's longest winning streak in the history of softball. They're 46 right now, and it'd be really cool, I think, you know, to match that 47 win streak of the Oklahoma football team too, to have two programs in your same, you know, at the same university that have those kind of streaks. But, you know, they've won so much, I guess is what I'm getting at. At times it's been kind of boring.
Yes.
I mean,
you're allowed to say it.
At times it's been dominant. But I think we saw in this regional, like, it just seems like this team woke up. And I know it's not the competition level of a Clemson, but I'm really curious to see, you know, if Haley Lee.
She's been 10 of 13 the last. You remember a couple weeks ago, we were like, Haley's kind of dropped off. 10 of 13 since, shutting us up.
Yeah, she's been fantastic, and you know, Sydney Sanders, she's been a little up and down the lineup. I mean, not too far, but, you know, she's been in that 3-4 hole, 5. I think she moved to 5, maybe.
She moved to 5 on Saturday and woke up with home run, then did the same thing Sunday. I mean, that's...
Kenzie Hansen's playing really well. You wonder, yeah, like, is Grace Lyons going to be the one to kind of step up in the limelight now? It's like all these players. And you know, T.R.A. Jennings, I think, you know, is starting to show a little bit, and you know, Jada Coleman really hasn't, you know, you could maybe point to one game where you're just like, oh, she did have a good game, but she's been reliable. I mean,
her patience at the plate is incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's almost like you feel like she would rather lead off the game with a walk
yes.
than a hit. I mean, I don't know why that is. I was never that kind of a player in baseball. I never wanted to walk. I wanted to get my money's worth and swing. But that's why I never continued playing past junior college. So, wondering of is this team going to, you know, basically grasp onto this and play at an even higher level? Because I think that possibility is there still.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing was Sunday, because we had seen it throughout, like the first time through the order, they're figuring things out. Maybe it's two to nothing, and then it becomes five, and then it becomes 8 or 12. But where, you know, Sunday they jumped on Cal so early, and it's like, all right, this is over and done with. This is the type of dominance that a lot of fans thought, you know, they could show throughout the last month. And can they keep that up? How long will it take them to adjust to Cagle? How long will Valerie need to adjust to what OU's bringing to the table? I mean, I'm fascinated by Friday. For the first time, I can say this too. For the first time in a long time, I'm like very intrigued as to how a game is going to shake out, instead of just thinking, when does this become a run rule?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if you guys watched some of the other action over the weekend after OU clinched, but I think Bob, you and I were both watching the Washington McNeese game.
Wild.
And to me, that was an example of like, OU might have to face Cagle, you know, a couple times to really get her down. And maybe if she comes out and wins the first game, you know, they have to kind of figure her out, kind of like Washington did the McNeese pitcher. And I know you were like, bring in the backup. What are you doing? The backup comes in and then gives up the lead run. So, but that was a case of a really good softball team that you knew was good, couldn't understand how they were down 6-0, and then they score 7 runs in the top of the 7th. Like, God, are we in for that with Cagle on the mound this weekend?
And that's, I'll be curious to see how Rittman handles Cagle. Like, if they're down Friday, will he go to Millie Thompson, who has 7 complete games in her own right? Mm-hmm. Will you do that and say, okay, we're not going to get it done today, but let's make sure both of these arms are as fresh as they need to be for Saturday?
And I'm trying to remember or think this through, but I think you felt like Jordy would definitely start the regional, but she didn't, right?
No, Nicole May. And yeah. I think Patty kind of threw us off on purpose, gave a little wink, wink. It's like, haha, you guys all thought it would be Alex or Jordy, and they went May, because May has just been Saturday or Sunday, and she's been Sunday for a lot of the time. And that's what Patty mentions. Like, this is the challenge of prepping against us. You don't know who's going to throw. You know they're going to throw really, really well, but you're not going to know until that moment.
Which, to me, that is crazy. Like, we're going into a super regional without thinking that it's a certainty that Jordy Ball is going to take the mound first.
No idea.
Take the circle first. No,
and just because she's, you know, you can trust all four. You can even add Kirsten Deal for like an inning or two. You can trust all four in a big moment. So it's like, all right, we're going to keep you on your toes the entire way. And then whoever we throw out there, we have full confidence that they can get the job done.
I got to think it's not Nicole May, though. I mean, and not because she's not effective, but she just doesn't have, I mean, there's two other pitchers I feel like on the staff have better stuff.
May's been very consistent. It's weird because it feels like she lacks that fire and intensity, and she's like, I'm just stay even keel. Mm-hmm. Where Jordy and Alex show a lot more emotion, and that's why I wonder if they get the call Friday. I'm going to go with Jordy. I think that's who gets the first game, but we're going to find out.
Doesn't Nicole May have like the best ERA
yes.
in the country? She's like it's like 0.57.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes, it really is.
But again, it's not. It's because, you know, she didn't really like, I don't know, she wasn't the one that they turned to like they do with Jordy. Like, you know, to close out a game or when you feel like you need a momentum shift. Like, Jordy's just such a bulldog.
Yes.
It's like the pacing and all that stuff. And it's just her intensity, I guess. Like you said, Nicole May's very, you know, casual. She's kind of like Sam Bradford.
And it works for her, exactly. Yeah. You can't knock it. It works for her, but there's just a certain different type
of
energy.
But it's like Baker Mayfield versus Sam Bradford. It's like the fans, and I don't know, it's like your own personal feelings
kind of gravitate toward that one who shows the emotion versus the one who doesn't. Because I think that's what people think athletes are. Like, they're good because they're fiery or whatever. Now, Athlete Village, is it going again?
Yes, yes, it
or
is.
Home Run Village.
Home Run Village.
Yeah. Home Run Village is back.
I'll be there.
You're
going to
go out.
I'm going to go
on
Friday.
That's kind of one of the things that you're going to do is,
yep,
is go
on
out
Friday.
There.
Yeah, so if you're out there, come look for me. I'll be looking for good stories, so I'll be hanging
Don't
out
make
there.
Up one. It's got to be real.
My God. We've got an editor-in-chief meeting going on all of a sudden.
Fabrication.
I drove 25 hours to get here.
Oh, it was a shattered glass. Don't be a shattered
yeah.
glass.
Yeah, shattered glass.
No, but I mean, it's going to be interesting how much it grows, I
yes.
think. Because, I mean, there was a lot of people there. I guess it probably grew throughout the weekend, last weekend. But it's going to be really interesting to see how big that, because they're blocking off streets and all that stuff. But I don't know. What do you guys expect out of that? I mean,
I think it's, I mean, Friday, it's going to be interesting because the game's at 1 p.m., right?
On a work day.
Yeah, so it's a middle of a day. I don't know. I think Saturday it'll be packed.
Especially if you can set winning streak record, advance to the Women's College World Series. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, and it's the last game at Marina Hines. I know, Bob, yep. you're working kind of on a story about that, but that's something that's definitely going to be, I think, sentimental for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, been working on that for a while now, just you know, the memories for past Sooner greats, and then sort of looking at this year's team as they look to close it out in style, right? You don't want to be, you want to have that last game end up being a loss, and just the transition of going from there to Love's Field, and just, you know, the type of pride that they're showing and how they want to do right by all the former legends, and then how excited they are to, you know, be the ones that can open up the new era. And I asked Patty about this last week, and she gave, it's been bittersweet, you know. Most of my adult life has been at this field, and I'm obviously thrilled about what's happening, and she's getting a lot of say about what's happening. She thought that's really cool. Like, I'm getting my input as to how I think Love's Field should go, where things should be placed. But yeah, it's going to be a very emotional weekend. There's no question.
It's almost too perfect, right? When you think about the winning streak, they can break that at the last game at Marita Hines. I mean, it's crazy to think about. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, and I've heard too, I mean, talking to, like I mentioned earlier, Lori Rittman, she was telling me there's going to be a lot of former alums there. Not just, I mean, obviously you see the Paige Parkers, the Lauren Chamberlains of the world, but I'm talking about, you know, players from the 80s and the 90s that saw this program before it even got to where it is now. A lot of them are going to be in town this weekend. And you know, Lori was telling me they played at Reeves Park. So she's like, you know, I've only seen.
I just can't imagine that.
I can't imagine. I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she said, you know, she's like, I can't wait to see Marita Hines, you know, let alone Love's Field. So a lot has changed. And it's crazy to think about just how unbelievably ridiculous this program has gotten.
Well, and it's really the sport too. I mean, to think that people, I mean, and you've seen, you know, you see OU go travel around, and a lot of teams in the Big 12 have upgraded, but I mean, it's funny to say, because Marita Hines still looks like a really nice field, just doesn't have the capacity for the fan base that has grown because of Patty Gasso. So I don't know. I think I kind of tend to think that they put Marita Hines behind them a little bit, and like the intensity of it being a super regional, like maybe it won't be such a big deal with the team now.
Right.
I think
with the
fans
team,
can celebrate it and say all the championships that were won there, but I don't expect to see a whole lot of, you know, kind of acknowledgement of all the things that have been accomplished in that stadium this weekend.
I would agree with that. It's about taking care of business, and you know, that's something Patty has mentioned time and time again. You're like, we don't talk about these things. Like, we don't talk about these individual player awards. We don't talk about the winning streak, because like, they're just so hyper focused, which is one of the reasons why they have the 46 game winning streak in the first place.
Well, and that's what I was gonna. If we want to talk about the winning streak,
I talked
to Mike Kandrea. I think that's how you say his last name.
Kandrea.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who was the Arizona head coach when they went on the 47 game win streak that they're trying to break. And they did it in 1996. They finished the season 17-0, won the national championship, started the next season 30-0. So it happened over two seasons, but he talked about during that, he goes, we didn't even know we were on a winning streak until somebody brought it up in the media. And so, Bob, you're going to ask Patty about it, I guess, today, or myself. But, you know, I think that that's what makes this winning streak is so they don't even think about those things. They keep it out of that, out of their heads. At least that's what they say to us. I mean, they're so hyper focused on the present. And that's what Kondreya kind of told me is like they there's this belief that no matter what, you're going to go out, you're going to win, you're going to find a way to win, and that there's no they stay in the present. There's no thinking about, oh, we were so great last week against Cal, or, oh, we can't wait to get to Oklahoma City next week. It's how do we beat Clemson today? And that's what makes those teams great. And I mean, again, I think it's going to be a fun weekend. And it's I think, like you said, Bob, it's the most interesting game that they've played in a while. I think Oklahoma State was obviously interesting because they've been, you know, kind of good this year. I mean, they've been really good this year. The Texas series was really interesting, but this Clemson team feels like a, I don't know, like a real threat almost.
It's just because it's the unknown. It's the unknown. When you've never played each other before and you've got probably the national player of the year coming to town, is she as good as what everyone thinks, or was it just because, you know, they didn't always play the tough teams and they racked up numbers?
Well, remember I asked you about the is there a James Madison type, what was her name?
Odyssey.
Alexander. Yeah, like, I guess that would she would be about the closest thing, right? And she's coming in the Super Regional.
Yeah, you know, there's names that you know, like Florida State, with Oklahoma State with like Maxwell. Like, there's names that are familiar, but Patty did such a great job of scheduling. They've played them. They know who they are.
Yeah,
you don't know who Cagle is until you get there Friday.
I was going to ask this.
Yeah,
and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, you know, but who are the teams out there, Bob, that you say they have the best chance of beating Oklahoma? Because I thought one of them was UCLA, and they go down, they lose in their own regional. But who are the teams that you're like, if someone's going to beat them, it's
like Florida State, even though they had to go to an if game on Sunday, and they've won that 1-0. So it's not like they were dominant, but they fared so well in like as hostile of a midweek environment you could have in Norman or, you know, during this season. I feel they have the makings of a championship team. And obviously, played OU in the championship series just a couple of years ago. So they've been there before. They understand what it takes. But yeah, you look around, gets to a point like, oh, I think OU would take them pretty easily. Yeah, that wouldn't be much of a challenge. So it will be curious to sort of just watch how the rest of the weekend shakes out and see if there's another Gasso that ends up OKC since UCLA goes down. Now the Utes get the host.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised they, you know, weren't as hot seemingly in the regional as they, you know, I thought they would have been coming out of winning that Pac-12 tournament. But here's one thing I want to ask you, and this is, well, first off, I'll say this in terms of OU and the regional and dominance and moving on. Like, to me, it's just so strange because you, like, last year you had Jocelyn Ello, and she was one of the most dominant softball players that's ever. She was a cheat code. Like, you could have a bad game or not, everyone could not contribute, and she was going to step up and save you. And this year it's just different because it's been more of a team effort.
Yes.
I mean, like, everybody is kind of, I don't want to borrow a baseball term, but, you know, like, it's like the former national champions of the 94, everybody's pulling on the same rope. Like, everybody picks up the other. And there's no one person like, okay, if they can just get her to bat in this inning, it'll all be okay. It's just come from everywhere. And so it's like, at what point does that become, you know, a flood? And what point does it become a stream to where, you know, everybody just kind of has a bad game?
Right. I mean, that's sort of what you've been waiting on. That's, I think, what you saw.
And that's being unfair to the pitching, I know, because they've been as big a, you know, this is the... But, I mean, I don't think there's any question. Out of all the championship teams, if they are a championship team, this would be the best pitching rotation.
Yeah, this is the deepest staff by far. And because of that, they're all fresh. None of them are even close to breaking down or being tired. They're all healthy. I mean, there's no reason to think any of those three are going to dip during the next couple of weeks. But you look at the bats, there have been games where they just haven't brought it. Like, you knew T.R. Jennings, Alyssa Brito, like, as soon as they brought it, Sun is like, all right, this is already over before it gets started. And you just don't know who's going to be that person on any given game. And it's just, it's been a while since we've seen that where no one had it, where you just had to string along like a 2-0 victory.
Or it was like the Texas game where they just, you know, weren't any good and just kind of struggled along. And then all of a sudden, boom, seventh inning, here they come.
Yeah, and they had that nice little, you know, Boone, Coleman, Jennings, like, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because those three are going to set the table and make it happen. And that's what they can lean toward, too. You know, they've had two games during this streak where they've been down multiple runs in the seventh inning, and it hasn't mattered. And that's the mindset that Patty has instilled in them. They're not afraid to lose, but they're not going to because they hated how it felt in Waco just that one time. And there's, that might be, you know, that's something we've asked a lot throughout the course of the year, but it probably needs to be brought up once again. Would you have had this type of season if you didn't have that early hiccup against the Bears? Because it seemed like that made them realize, okay, we never want to go through this again. Here's how we adjust. Here's how we get better. And this is, we're never going to have this bitter taste in our mouths the rest of the way.
Well, the funny thing about it was they did the same thing last year. They just did it right before the NCAA tournament started with losing Oklahoma State in the Big 12.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes it's just good that, you know, you don't have people asking about going undefeated or anything like
that. The
pressure
buildup.
But now it's actually worked the other way because the pressure is the undefeated streak because it happened so early in the year that you could have this happen. But you can just tell, like, that Baylor game, just a switch changed for them to where it's like, okay, what we thought we could do, it's not going to be enough. So what do we need to do to make sure we're the team that we know we can be?
Here's something, too, about Patty that's kind of, you know, not shocked me, but I think it's been it goes to who she is as a coach, and that is, you know, she's not gotten more rigid with her lineups. With you know, Deal is appeared more than we thought that she would. Pinch hit, like, you know, Grace Green, and you know, not being afraid to put Jocelyn Erickson back in the lineup, like, down the stretch here, like, I don't know what she's going to do in the Super Regional. Like, is she going to be like, okay, we think we know what the best players are and who the best players should that are in the starting lineup and where they should be in the lineup. But I think Patty's just like, look, everybody's going to play. Like,
yes.
Just be ready.
Be ready. Alina Torres. So,
yeah.
Sophia Nugent. Just be ready when your number is called. We had, you know, Grace Lyons as the captain of the team. She's in the 8 hole on Sunday. Like, it just doesn't matter. Just wherever you're put, you know what your job is.
Yeah, and that it's been pitching. It's been, you know, the lineups. It's been substitutions. I mean, it's all
and it's the defense.
Yeah, they don't make any errors.
That's the clear thing when you watch any of those
any other regional,
there's an error that OU doesn't do.
But not just that, just the way they play. It's like other teams, and this is not meant to be offensive, but like they have girls that throw like girls sometimes, like in the outfield, and it's just like OU doesn't have that. And the other thing is OU, every runner that OU has is fast for the most part. I mean, like, Haley Lee's pretty fast. I mean,
she got 2 infield hits on Friday.
I mean,
no one saw that coming.
You watch other teams, and you'll see a game where the infielder bobbles the ball, and the person's still out at first.
Correct.
If you don't field it cleanly and throw it to first against OU, you're not. They're going to be safe.
Or
it's insane.
You don't charge it if you're at third and short, and you just wait for the ball to come to you. They're going to be safe. It's pretty amazing just to see how much pressure they put on opposing defenses.
Yeah.
And then on the opposing, you know, on the batters, because you think you've got something, and then Jada Coleman just steals it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have enough trouble as is having good contact. Then the time you do, she steals it from you. It's like, what more can I do?
They're also just really good about getting out of jams.
Like, yeah.
They'll every once in a while, they'll get, you know, a couple of girls on, and all of a sudden, it's a strikeout or, you know, double play or whatever. It's just like, it's wild.
I mean, yeah. Alyssa Brito and Grace Lyons, I mean, they are just unbelievable.
Scary.
On the left
scary
side.
Scary combo.
I mean, crazy. And let me ask you this, Bob, because you mentioned, you know, another coach in OKC. I think everybody kind of wonders, okay, new field, Patty's going for 3 in a row. Like, if she wins 3 in a row, like, how long does she want to keep doing this? But, and maybe that hasn't been the feeling around the softball program, but I think, you know, me is like kind of like the general public that just watches this. It's like, I'm still traumatized by Bob Stoops, probably. but, like, going to a new field, I mean, obviously she's going to want to experience that. But it was, you remember, it was, I am traumatized by Bob because it was, they built the south end zone. He had the new office. And
yes.
I remember being there at the caravan. I was like, when are you going to move into your office, Bob? And he was like, he was always, you know, like, I'll do it when we do it.
And he never did.
So I'm a little, I guess I am a little freaked out. It's PTSD here. But, you know, Patty's husband taking the job to me signifies that, yeah, these roots are here for a while longer still.
Yeah, and I asked her about that Sunday, about Jim going to Mid-American Christian and just how excited she is for her husband and how he kind of, you know, put his life on hold is the wrong term, but he allowed Patty to chase her dreams and accomplish them, you know, multiple times over with what she's been able to do. And now in this stage of his life, he's going to be able to do the same thing. And so, yeah, I don't think the Gasso family is going anywhere for a long time.
Now, is JT the, like, coach in waiting?
Oh, that's a good question. And we kind of had, you know, budget meeting, you know, insight here. But, you know, we had talked about, like, doing a story about the tree and how it's growing. And, you know, where I think it was after we watched the Utah game and after them beating UCLA, because she has a son and another former pitcher on staff there. Who's Jen Roach? Is she, what was that name? Who's the former assistant? Like
Jen Roach is the pitching coach right now.
Okay, but the one before her, like she's somewhere, right? Is a head coach at a Power Five?
Oregon.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Gosh, what am I thinking of? Hold on, I'm looking it up.
I'm blanking too.
Melissa Lombardi.
Okay, yeah.
And they played Cowgirls.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just like, okay, when is this tree maturing to the fact, like, is that what Patty's waiting for? Is she like, you know, is it a handoff to JT, or is it like, hey, everybody go fend for yourselves. Let's see who comes out of this. Because I would think if Joe C's still around, he probably wants to keep that, you know, when Patty decides she wants to step down, like keep it in the family.
It'd be interesting, you know, if they make it, they have a media day, usually Tuesday, Hall of Fame Stadium, and open up to all eight teams, but you get a lot of national media too. And it'd be interesting to sort of address that type of topic and to sort of just look around and see among those eight teams how many of them have those Patty ties.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Kenny Gajewski certainly doesn't have Patty ties. He has Oklahoma ties, but you know, he is set, and Tim Walton obviously did. So it isn't. I guess you can't really claim that though.
How old is Patty?
That's not appropriate, I don't believe, you know, to discuss a woman's
age. Age and weight, George. You can't ask, man.
60. She turns...
Well, the fact that you have to ask kind of says, like, seems like she's got a lot left in the tank.
She turned 61 on Monday.
Hmm.
Or what day is May 27th? Or is that Saturday?
That is Saturday.
Saturday. She turns 61 on Saturday.
You can break the winning streak, you can have a happy birthday, and you can go to the Women's College World Series.
I already know if they lose either Friday or Saturday, I am 1,000% going to get blamed for writing this win streak story.
I did want to go back to that.
I'll be jinxing.
We won't give away everything. It's going to be up on the site Thursday. But when you asked Mike about the winning streak, what was his attitude about OU?
Oh, he is rooting for OU to break the streak. He said, you know, records are meant to be broken. He did tell me when we first started the call, it was funny. He goes, you know, I didn't know we were on the winning streak. Also, I had no idea OU was on a winning streak, but it doesn't surprise me because I do keep up with them and they are unbelievable. And so there's a lot of really good tidbits about just what he thinks about this team, what Patty, you know, has done in her career, and also just what he thinks about what Oklahoma as a program is doing for the sport. I thought that was really interesting, some of his thoughts on that. But yes, he is rooting for Oklahoma. He will be watching. He told me he has he's retired. I think he retired a couple years ago after Arizona got beat in the Women's College World Series. He has a summer home out in Arizona, and he said he will be sitting on his couch, probably drinking a drink and watching the Super Regionals. So,
all right. It is coming up on Friday, 1 o'clock. It'll be on ESPN2. We don't know who will take the first step into the circle. It's got to be Jordy, right?
It's got to be Jordy. But I thought that last week. Maybe Hofstra wasn't as necessary, but this, yes, you've got to go with your best.
I agree. I think it needs to be Jordy. Of course, you know, Jordy's a little, she can get a little wild in those moments as well. So maybe that's what.
Is Starocco the closer, though? Like, if Jordy goes five and you're in a close battle,
right?
Do you bring?
I mean, that's what I'm interested to see here, too. Do you just say, take,
or maybe
a,
there's not
take a seven, or say go 4 and 3 and just.
Nicole
I would
used
say
to be
this.
All
fresh.
What,
I
would, didn't I, Nicole used to be the closer like a year ago? Or maybe her first year?
Not a, she was. Remember. She was more like side starter.
Side starter that you never had full faith in.
Right.
Yeah. It felt like.
I would say this, though. I would say, how about this? Jordy starts, Nicole closes because she's a bigger changeup. Although, her strength is kind of, she's kind of like more like Jordy than Starocco is. Starocco's more, she, I don't know. I'm going to get myself in trouble with softball fans if I start trying to break this down too much.
I mean, the reality is, does it really matter?
Well, I was just saying, whoever you think is the biggest change from, and maybe that's Deal. I mean, from Jordy, I think that's who you go with. You don't want to bring in someone that's throwing similar speeds and but nobody's really similar to Jordy. I mean, there's no...
Like, if you're 2-0 going into the sixth, you just say, Jordy, take us home. Like, dude, would you even mess?
Yeah, I agree.
Mess with it. Like, if it's 7-0, okay, I gotcha. Let's make a change. There's no reason to go.
If you don't think
pitches.
That Clemson's hitters are good enough to, you know, have that hurt you if they see her too much.
Yep.
So, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the coverage you guys are gonna bring us, and both you guys will be out there all weekend covering the Sooners, and then we'll see. I don't want to jinx anything. We've
I know.
Enough of that, but
you can't.
But yeah, certainly, you know, winning this super regional, moving on, it would be a really big moment in not just OU softball history, but OU athletics history. I think so. It's gonna be fun. We'll see if we need to do any kind of emergency press conferences as this goes along, or emergency pods. It's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. So. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back again next week on Wednesday for a regularly scheduled Unofficial 40 Pod with all the guys, and we'll talk some softball in that as well. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Unofficial 40 from Soonerscoop.com.